Good morning, brothers, sisters, Sunday school scholars, in Christ our Lord. As we study the book of Zechariah, let us keep in mind that we must study all the books of the Bible, not just this one in particular. This morning, let us look at Zechariah chapter 7. This chapter is the continuation of the previous chapters and those that we are about to study this week. In studying the book of Zechariah, we see that Zechariah is still the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo. Also in the book of Ezra, he is called the son of Iddo. We can see that Zechariah was a prophet and priest. It would also involve that he was a young man when, in the second year of Darius, he began his prophetic ministry. Let us keep in mind that Zechariah means Yahweh remembers, a very appropriate name for one who prophesied of the return of Yahweh's favor to Zion. In the seventh chapter of Zechariah, we can also see a new section of the prophecy which continues to the end of chapter 8. 2 years had passed since the night of the visions of an enacted parables of the appointment of Joshua. We also see that great progress had been made in the building of the temple. The people could see some of the results of their labors by this time. The blessings of Yahweh had been bestowed upon them in bountiful harvest. As a result of this, a representative was sent to the prophet to inquire as to whether the people should maintain certain fasts that had been celebrated for 70 years since the city of Jerusalem and the temple had been destroyed. In verse 1, "And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius," nearly 2 years had elapsed since the first vision. The restoration of the temple was going on. It was completed in the sixth year of Darius. We also see the prophet Zechariah had doubtless observed the complacent attitude of the people surrounding him. And now, stirred by the Spirit to present an urgent and vigil warning. This was exercised by the action of two men who approached the temple with some questions concerning the fast of the fifth month. In the fourth day of the ninth month, even in Chislu, we see that this month commences the period of increased rainfall. In verse 2, we also see that the temple is not called the house of God, but the house of Yahweh. The temple is not completed as of this time, and therefore not open for worship. There was a representative that was sent to Jerusalem from Bethel in the north to inquire of the priest whether the fast of the previous years should be maintained. This whole chapter deals with the fast of Yahweh in various different avenues. Shall we fast hitherto? This question gave the prophet opportunity to show the people how little they had taken to heart the chastening they had received from the hand of Yahweh. As we all should realize, the natural heart cannot long endure sorrow. It seeks to escape heartache and burdens. And with the passing of the time, the fast had lost their significance. The manner in which they had been kept did not express the true humility and repentance of the people. The true spirit of the festivals of Yahweh had been replaced by a ritual observance without real or lasting significance. They were just a mere matter of work in which faith played no part. The prophet Zechariah warned the people of their real spiritual state. Verse 6, which states, "And when ye did eat, and when ye did drink, did not ye eat for yourselves, and drink for yourselves?" In this verse, they had no reverence for Yahweh in the celebration of their festivals. Their religious exercises, both feast and fast, did little more than satisfy their ego, their own pleasure or self-pity. Should we keep this lamentation and fasting indulged in by the Jews? This had become a meaningless ritual in the face of great blessings received. The progress made in the prosperity that was the progress made in the rebuilding of the temple and nation, the prosperity that was slowly manifesting itself among all the people, made constant lamentation unrealistic, nor was it of much use. Yahweh did not want His people to indulge in self-pity or to continually express remorse, but to reveal characteristics such as are as outlined in verses 9 through 10. "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow nor the fatherless, the stranger nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart." The same manner was expressed by the apostles on the day of Pentecost. To audience stricken with remorse at the wicked action of the nation in crucifying their Lord. The Jews instituted certain fasts to memorialize dark and terrible incidents that had taken place in their history. This fast was a memorial of the overthrow of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. In the fifth month, the destruction of the temple occurred, and this had subsequently been celebrated by yearly fast. But now that the temple was rapidly being rebuilt, the fast seemed out of place. "Your feasts have been hypocritical." They had kept the fast as a meaningless ritual, a requirement that was completely necessary, and a burden to their own posterity. In verse 4, "Then came the word of Yahweh of hosts unto me, saying, Zechariah is aroused to declare the divine warning to the people." The use of the militant name of the deity is significant. It constituted a warning that if no heed was taken to the admonition, retribution would be a result. Verse 5 states, "Speak unto all the people of the land and to the priest, saying," the representative had approached the priest for the answer in that matter, but they were involved in the general apathy of the people and unable to give the proper answers. "When ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month," the seventh month celebrated the murder of Gedaliah, the ruler of the remnant who had been left, "did ye at all fast unto me, even to me?" The fasting was conducted in a spirit of self-pity, not the true repentance to Yahweh. The fasting that Yahweh desires, the nation recognized the blessings received, but remained unconcerned that Yahweh was looking for hearts and minds that were continually responsive to His will. They had to understand the true nature of His character. and to manifest those same characteristics to each other. And the word of Yahweh came to Zechariah, saying, a further revelation was necessary to make the people aware of His will. Verse 8. In verse 9, thus speaketh Yahweh of hosts, saying, the words that follow reveal. This reveals that the basic mistake of the people taken into captivity had been their failure to carefully heed the word of Yahweh. In verse 10, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, including all those without the support and protection of husband, father, or family. The action of the Redeemer against them, the refusal to help those in need would bring the action of the Redeemer against them. Verse 11, they refused to hearken. The first cause of God's displeasure. He has elevated His word above His holy name. Psalms 138 and 2. And for man to refuse to listen is a reprehensible offense. In verse 12, they made their hearts as an adamant stone. There was no entreaty or instruction that could make any impression on such a hard surface. Verse 13, therefore it has come to pass that as he cried and would hear. Verse 14, but I scattered them with a whirlwind. The purpose of this chapter is to show that people should fast by denying themselves and doing the things in which Yahweh finds pleasure.